Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
Hello, I'm Ali, your classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
So guys, before we start this episode,
we have a special shout-out.
Special shout-out to...
To your mama.
Yeah, no, to the former... person that was
the former as if like
the former no longer alive. The former band member,
the former man named Prince,
yeah,
the
right,
artist named Prince,
the artist formerly known as Prince,
whatever.
No, he was I would say he was like the what's his name,
the guy with leg of the chair,
no, the guy who left the Beatles and went with Yoko Ono, the John Lennon. He was the John, but he was more of a Ringo star. He was, you know,
it's messed up. Shout out to our dear cousin Mustafa, who got married this past week.
Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to him.
It was a fun little wedding.
Honorary Currently Nerdy member.
Yeah, we have a
photo. Not honor. He was a Currently Nerdy.
He's honorary now.
Yeah, now what? No,
he is honorary now.
Is he honorary?
Yeah, he started it, but he left, so he's not a member anymore.
That's true.
He's an honorary one.
Okay.
We still continue to. We save an empty chair for him.
Yeah, we do save an empty chair.
Yeah,
it's got papers on it.
I'm staring at an empty chair.
Yeah.
It's representative of
Mustafa. This is where you were, movie.
And sometimes we yell at it like, yeah, I'm Clint Eastwood.
Fuck
and
you, white devil.
but Obama.
It was fun. It was a nice little wedding at Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
I was pretty hammered.
You were out of it.
Yeah. V, did you have fun there? Was your first
Afghan wedding?
It was the first time he's ever gone to an Afghan wedding, right?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part? Minus the food.
Actually, the food wasn't that good.
No, because it was from places we will not speak of.
Trump-supporting pieces of shit.
It was pretty average food, but I liked it. The music was great.
I liked the kebabs.
The dancing was really pretty awesome. Like, uh-huh. I haven't seen that before, so like, uh-huh, it was live anyway. So
you enjoyed my dancing?
No, I didn't enjoy your dancing. I enjoyed the dancing in general.
You enjoyed my dancing?
I saw you sweating with the drink in your hand, and I was like, wow. Diz lives a depressing life.
What are you talking about? That's messed up.
Really mean.
I'm only kidding. No, I really like you. You're really talented. You're really good at dancing.
See, yeah. He said something nice about me.
He didn't say that at the table.
What did you say at the table?
I said, Diz lives a depressing life.
Did he say that?
He did.
You son of a bitch. Why? Because I dance and drink. I drink and I dance. I do these things.
What are you, Tyrion Lannister?
Basically.
It was a fun wedding. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, we took a lot of nice
flowers. Flowers are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're done by Square Root.
Nope, they're not done by anybody.
Square Root.
I refuse to give them any credit.
What? I'm just kidding. Square Root. They did a good job there.
They did do a good job. But they were too big. What's the thing with these giant centerpieces? Have you noticed that's the thing now? You make these giant-ass centerpieces, and I can't even see anything.
The bigger the flowers, the richer you are, I think.
Oh, is that how it is? Right?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think the idea is, like, you want to be lavish, so yeah, like, you can do it with the flowers.
So you just make it as big as possible.
That's pretty much true.
And obstruct people's view.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to see things.
Yo, I don't know how I did it. So I drank until like 3 a.m.
Yeah, you drank. You had a cup the entire night.
Yeah,
well, in your hand, like, there was never, your hand was never empty.
Yeah, that was the point. It was always have a drink in my hand. I told bartenders, see this, mm-hmm, this hand, yeah, empty? You better refill it.
Doing something wrong?
Yeah, fill it up. It was from, what was that?
Open bar?
No, cash bar.
Oh,
it's from How I Met Your Mother. Remember, she said, like, "Have you ever seen this?"
Yeah,
Linus. Right, is that his name?
But started with an L.
Yeah, something like that. But I was out till 3 a.m, drinking and dancing, and my ass showed up at fucking 8:45 to Ali's Taking Over the World conference. Summer Leadership Initiative.
Summer Leadership,
basically,
Initiative.
How we blame the white man for all our problems initiative. Yes.
The Summer Leadership Initiative is a place where we get together, we people of color, and we say, fuck the white man.
Yeah, it's true.
We chant it together. It's actually one of our closing chants.
It was.
Fuck the white man. Fuck, yeah, the white man. Fuck the white man.
It's pretty funny. But we did it in Tagalog.
Increase in volume.
We said it in Tagalog, though.
That's not what we said in Tagalog.
Pakasaka.
Pakasaka. What was it?
I don't know, but it was something like that.
So united we stand.
Divided
we fall. Yeah. Something like that.
Why'd you clap? You clapped after you said divided we fall?
No.
Yeah, no, it's a workers chant from the Philippines.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a workers chant.
Because, you know, I mean, when you're clapping, that means that you're coming, the hands are coming together instead of dividing themselves. So it's weird symbology.
Out of many, we are one. That's what
it is. Oh, okay. There, yeah, okay.
Out of many, we are one. That's
something like that. It's a workers chant. It was really cool.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
But I forgot how to say it.
So this weekend was something known as the Summer Leadership Initiative, put on by the Afghan Diaspora for Equality and Progress.
Woohoo.
Or ADEP for, yep, short.
Or ADEP.
Or ADEP.
However these people
ADEP,
pronounce it.
ADEP.
I've heard it both ways.
Of which I am one of seven? Six members?
Seven.
How many of us are there?
Seven.
There's seven.
Seven of you.
Shout out to Adep.
Adep sounds like an Indian guy.
Yeah, right? Adep Patel.
Adep SLI.
That works. It's an Indian dude.
Shout out to all of them. They came down from the various corners of the United States of these America.
Yeah, shout out to the new listeners that I bombarded with stickers.
Yeah, you converted a lot of people with stickers, I gotta be honest.
Bombard them. Support brown artists.
just hand it out.
You have to do.
You only gave out 50, I think.
I think I gave out 50 of them.
You know, I noticed something about our logo. It's a white fist. Did you notice that?
Well, because you made it.
I didn't make that logo.
A white person made that logo. White supremacy.
No, my logo is brown.
Yeah.
The Veek made my logo super dark at one point.
Yeah, it's true.
Like I was like, what is your impression of me?
You were your dad's complexion at one point.
Not even my dad's complexion. I'm pretty sure I was like from Dravidian South India.
I actually based the logo on Kunal Nayar from Big Bang Theory.
And then at some point, it turned red. I'm like, what is this guy? This guy does not know what he's doing.
He made you a Native American.
You know.
He went from one Indian to American
racist
Indian.
Racist eyes saw me in all sorts of shades. Just putting me in all sorts of brown categories.
Yeah, he's whatever you could be.
Yeah, but he did hand out quite a bit of stickers. It was a fun weekend. What did you think? You were a participant. I organized, so.
What I think?
I'm an insider.
So, one thing that set this apart from other conferences I went to, like the biggest takeaway.
No shade thrown to AAC?
No, the biggest takeaway I took from it was coalition building with other people of different, like, you know, ethnicities and backgrounds.
Yeah.
And like working in different groups. It's great to see like the plight of like BLM.
We had a fantastic coalition panel from Black Lives Matter, Indigenous rights, workers' rights, feminist, yep. Transnational feminism.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, we had I was taken aback by it. Like when you know we had a water protector speaking about like how she was at Standing Rock and like. Yeah. You know, like you could feel the pain that, like, you know, like
shout out to Ridwan.
Yeah.
And for Arash Sufi who really facilitated that.
It was very like that was like the moment that stood out for me the most.
Yeah.
You know, so that was something cool. You know, learning outside of your own people.
We did a lot. It was a lot of cool stuff. We did like stuff like public narrative. We did history of hip hop. Shout out to Noura for putting that on.
Yeah, we made a music video.
They made music videos.
What song did you do it to?
Ghetto Gospel.
Yeah. Ghetto Gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Irvine.
Yeah. 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 I'll show you the video. We had different groups. There's you know, they did some with like a tribe called Quest, Queen Latifah.
Oh, that's cool. Some Biggie. Classics.
Yeah. We did Ghetto Gospel. That was we were group four.
Yeah. It was a fun experience. I was impressed with the turnout and how things went. It was about really building a grassroots movement and empowering young, woke individuals to become leaders in their communities, to step up and take charge and kind of, you know, build their own movements. Mm-hmm. So I think in that regards, it was somewhat successful.
Yeah.
I gave a talk.
He did.
Of course, you always talk.
Very reluctantly, though.
Shit. It was garbage.
That's not what you said in the car. Be honest. Put it aside. What'd you say? Be honest.
I said it was a good talk.
No, that's what you said.
I said it was the highlight for a lot of people.
No. What did you say? Your personal feelings. Come on. You can be a good boy.
Did you find it magical? Exhilarating?
My favorite talk that he gave.
The favorite talk that Ali...
He's looking at my cute cousin.
The favorite talk that Ali gave?
He actually said it was the best talk of the weekend, is what he said.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't want to give him all this hype.
Yeah, he did that.
When did you talk?
Sunday.
Well, see, now here's the thing. You were hungover on Saturday.
So maybe that's what it was. Yeah. You were more generous on Sunday. No, you were more hungover on Saturday, let's be real.
I was more hungover on Sunday than I was Saturday. No, really? What?
No, it was Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Friday night was the wedding.
Yeah, no, he didn't drink that much Saturday night.
I didn't drink at all Saturday night.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you were hungover on Saturday.
I know.
So the people on Saturday didn't get a fair shake.
Yeah, but it was Omar speaking, and fuck Omar. Who gives a shit about
him? Stop being mean to Omar.
Fuck you, Omar.
Literally, Omar gets mentioned in every single podcast episode.
Because he owns exotic birds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, fuck him.
He has his peacocks and
I feel bad.
Pelicans and
Omar here is
toucans.
Like,
dude, I saw a toucan.
Yeah. We went to Mozambique.
Mozambique at the beach, I saw a toucan.
Oh, yeah. The owner of that restaurant's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
The guy's nuts. The owner of that restaurant,
really?
Mozambique.
What did he do?
Nah, the guy's nuts. He's a lot of rumors about him going around the restaurant circles in South Orange County.
Really?
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
And you let us eat there, V?
I didn't know you were going to Mozambique.
What he should have done?
I just told him he's crazy. Like, he's got a crazy temper. Like, he'll just he'll go nuts on his staff and everything.
Damn. And we supported him because V didn't tell us. Way to go. Perpetrating this abusive cycle. This is on you.
Yeah, you know, that's a shame, you know, going somewhere where I wasn't invited.
Well, Noura invited you. Ali just didn't text you.
I didn't text anybody.
Yeah. She told him.
Noura also gets mentioned every single podcast as well.
She invited you.
It's a bit much.
You need Why do you keep putting these poor people on the
spot?
Well,
you mentioned the first day, and that's bitch-ass Omar was speaking.
I'll literally be like, hey, so I had a really good watermelon Slurpee the other day, and then you'll be like, fuck Omar.
That makes sense.
You're a terrible human being.
It's true, but whatever. Seriously. So what were we saying about Sunday?
That you enjoyed Sunday.
I did enjoy
Sunday. Coalitions and building from...
It was fun times.
Well, unfortunately, the reality is that despite the fact that we did all this organizing, you know, inspired leaders to take charge in their communities, those communities may not exist in the next couple minutes.
That's true.
In fact, you may not be listening to this podcast, right? Someone in the future somewhere will uncover a laptop.
Uh-oh.
And they learn to download. Who are these three geniuses?
Yes.
Speaking to us from the past.
That one man has a sexy beard. I can tell from his voice.
Anthropologists and historians will be like, I believe there was this thing called Currently Nerdy. They were the voice of a generation. A lost generation.
No, they'll be like, there's this one really intelligent guy. Two retarded cousins that are...
Hey, man, you can't use words like that, V.
No, see, because the way I see it, culture is dying. Mm. And... those words will come back.
Now he's just making shit up now. He didn't know what, he had no response to you, so he just threw words at you.
Culture,
yeah.
Hey, it worked for the president.
You're not the president.
So you don't have white privilege. What are we referencing here, gentlemen? What exactly are we referencing? Yeah. Why is the world ending?
Lil' Kim, bro.
And the future.
Lil' Kim,
they're going to talk about Currently Nerdy as a voice of a generation.
I think it's the fidget spinner.
Yes, the fidget spinner.
Yeah, I mean... the fidget spinner might
maybe be... Maybe that's what Trump needs, is a fidget spinner.
It's a nuclear deterrent.
What would you imagine, like, if McMaster, like, had any sense to him, he would have just given him a fidget spinner instead of, like, his cell phone so he can't tweet.
Yeah.
Be like, here, look at this.
It spins.
Ooh. Right? Spinning.
Oh, God, I went down a rabbit hole with a fidget spinner, actually. Ooh. I did all this research the other day.
It also twists his shit, man.
I know. Well, actually, there's a lot of it. This is the reason why it's like you can't trust Wikipedia, and you can't trust the media.
Okay.
Because of the fidget spinner. Okay. Perfect example with the fidget spinner. Actually, I was looking it up because someone had told me when I was at a convention how the story about the fidget spinner is about this lady who had like a patent on it and stuff in like the 90s, and she lost it, and then all these evil corporate companies entities came and took it and made all this money, and she makes nothing off of it.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, you know, that sounds pretty standard. You know, that's kind of what we do here in this country.
Yeah.
And then I went and looked it up, and I looked at a couple articles, and it turns out that the lady they're mentioning was this lady named Catherine Hettinger, who had a patent in like 1995 for a spinning toy. That's all it was, right? But it was actually like a little like disc thing that you put on your finger and you waggled it.
Uh-huh.
So it looked like a little flying saucer type
thing. Yeah.
Now, she presented it to Hasbro as like an actual, as like a spinning toy, because she said she was inspired by Israeli children throwing rocks at police officers.
Israeli children?
Yeah, yeah. She said Palestinian. She said Israeli in the article that I read.
There's no such thing as Israel.
Kids aren't throwing rocks at police, though.
They're like, I think they were doing it more, not so much for violence, they're doing more kind of like, they're bored, so they're throwing rocks at cops.
There's no such thing as Israeli children.
This is what the article said, okay?
The state of Israel doesn't exist, it's Palestine.
Hold on.
Jesus Christ.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I had to go...
So Hasbro didn't end up, pushing forward with the project, right? And in 2005, she didn't have the freaking $400 to keep the patent going, so she just got rid of it. And then according to like The Guardian and New York Post, they ended up doing these like article heads that said, "Women who invented fidget spinner isn't getting squat." The Guardian said, "As fidget spinner craze goes global, the inventors struggle to make ends meet." Right, and they based it all on the fact that somebody, we're not sure who, wrote a Wikipedia article about the fidget spinner saying that she was the one who invented it.
Uh-huh.
And then because of that Wikipedia article, those news outlets and plenty other ones ended up basing that story on that Wikipedia article that no one knows who wrote.
Hashtag fake news.
So she didn't actually invent
it. When they asked her, I was looking at a Bloomberg article, and they asked her about it. She's like, yeah, I didn't really, I may never made claim to it, I had a patent for a spinning toy, like in the 90s. And then they talked to patent lawyers, like that Bloomberg did, and they went, yeah, the thing is so different from what a fidget spinner is that you can't actually put the patent on it. Mm-hmm. And even then, even if she did renew the patent only lasts for like 14 plus years, and it would have expired by the time that fidget spinners got popular anyway. So, and she herself hasn't really made any claim to it. So that just shows that Wikipedia has become kind of this really weird jumping off point, even for media outlets, about things like the fidget spinner.
No, people think it's a reliable source when it isn't.
So now, capitalizing off of the fame of having these articles come out about her, Catherine actually started a Kickstarter campaign to try to fund the original design. She's calling it the Classic Fidget Spinner. It actually ended on June 18th, unsuccessfully, only raising $14,592 of its $24,000 goal, with 966 backers. I'll end it with, under about this project on the Kickstarter page, the first sentence says, Wikipedia credits Catherine Hettinger as the original inventor. This makes it a classic. Mm. So imagine she didn't acknowledge the patent, right? Somebody in Wikipedia did. Mm-hmm. But it was enough for media outlets to actually jump on the fact that she was the creator, and she herself now uses it as a Kickstarter to say that Wikipedia, as an actual reliable source, somehow credits her as that, so she can actually use it as a way of marketing her.
I don't think people realize that Wikipedia can be actually edited by anybody.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's that, I mean, something like that.
Supposedly standards and stuff, but the reality is it can be edited by anyone.
Exactly. Well, this is a perfect example, right? I mean, there's really no way of actually telling who. No one really knows who actually.
I think created I had a Wikipedia page at one point, right?
You did. It went down.
Didn't you? Oh, it did? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Amir showed you or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so anyone can literally create one.
Yeah.
Or anyone can literally edit one.
I made one about Zyde Unis once.
Did you?
It was up for
see,
for like a day, and then they realized it was just like a.
And if you know how to code or whatnot, you can literally.
Yeah, there's a way, and then you can also edit stuff that's already.
Yeah. So as a result, you.
Well, yeah. Well, like. Anytime like Justin Bieber loses an award, they have to like block people from editing people
block
like
stuff.
Yeah, that like the people that beat him, like, right. So like let's say like he lost to Avenged Sevenfold, right? They have to block people editing Avenged Sevenfold page because they'll talk shit. Nickelback's page you're not allowed to edit anymore. Like, that's one that's you're not allowed. they ban people from doing that. So. You know,
that is what it is, right? Yeah. Yep. We used to be back in high school. We were like, or early college years too. It's like, don't use Wikipedia.
People still say that,
right?
Shit.
Like, don't, especially don't cite it on thing. Nowadays, we're pretty more accepting. We're more accepting of it for sure.
Yeah,
I know. In class, a lot of us are like, yeah, you can use Wikipedia to learn stuff.
Yeah,
but you can't use Wikipedia to,
like, as a source.
Yeah. Then of course, I had a colleague who would. Before every exam,
go and put the wrong answer.
Go and change Wikipedia. This goes to show you how easy it is, right? Go and change Wikipedia with incorrect answers on the topics he was testing on. So that when they wrote their essays or their exams, if they wrote the wrong answer, he knew it came from Wikipedia and not the book.
Your colleague's a dick.
My colleague was a dick.
See, that's messed up because he's fucking it for everyone else who's looking at that page. He just want to learn.
But yeah, he used to do that shit, and that was his way of kind of finding out that people weren't studying the book or paying attention in class. They just fucking used Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, because the fucking books cost $300.
Yeah.
The books
cost $300.
I do appreciate, though, the fact that usually when they have the cited source, you can follow a link back to see how good it is. Yeah. Not many people do it, but I do like to read more about it because usually there's like a sentence that they cite. Yeah. And you can actually get more information by just going back.
Links. You go on Wikipedia fucking binges. That's the thing about you. You're sitting there looking up like Jack the Ripper, and all of a sudden, somehow you're watching.
That's
like,
why your sources are all fucked up.
Looking at something about daisies or some shit.
Wikipedia rather than books.
I read books too.
Yeah, but like what?
Comic books.
The graphic novels.
Mm-hmm, graphic novels.
But yeah, I feel like you get like lost into Wikipedia for like hours at a time.
You know, you get lost in Pornhub. We have our own things.
Yeah, no, I don't get lost in Pornhub, okay? I stay there for like 10 minutes at a time. What the hell's wrong with you, V? I don't have that kind of fucking like stamina.
Damn. 10 minutes considered stamina in your world.
In the porn world, that's a good amount of stamina.
I don't even comment on this.
You're playing.
I feel extremely uncomfortable with this conversation.
But it's not
We were talking about the end of the world, so I think that's quite fitting. The end of the world before is upon us, and why is it?
Because of Pornhub.
Because of Donald J. Trump.
Are we blaming Pornhub doesn't help either, though, to be honest.
It's lowering, it's hiring impotency, so now men can't have children.
The lack of potency.
Yeah, the lack of potency
is what's creating warmongering.
Exactly.
Well, actually,
there's a lot of micro dick syndrome going around.
That is true when you think about it, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people.
Number of it. What was it? George Carlin talked about the military as a bunch of dick things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all
missiles are shaped like dicks. Rankings of little dicks on your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like
who has the most dicks.
It's just some conscious way of putting your dick into another person's country, right? Like it's very true.
So you've heard it here first. What's happened is that North Korea intelligence leak happened, unfortunately, again. Trump himself has also leaked inadvertently again, releasing information that he wasn't supposed to on Twitter because he's an idiot.
Wasn't he not allowed to use Twitter for a few hours?
I think McMaster took his phone away.
He wasn't allowed to use Twitter.
So over the past couple weeks, Trump has kind of been hitting out at North Korea, mostly complaining that China hasn't done anything to curb North Korea. Then the UN Security Council voted unanimously or overwhelmingly on sanctions for North Korea, tightening those sanctions on it. In response, North Korea said, fuck the United States, or their equivalent. And we had this intelligence leak that basically said that North Korea now has the capabilities of creating a nuclear warhead. That is, that they can put nuclear material into a missile. So up until this point, they haven't been able to. They've been developing the material while firing missiles. They've been firing blanks, right?
Yeah.
So they've been firing them, and they haven't really been doing... Their targeting sucks, right? They always end up...
Falling into the ocean or whatever.
The ocean, doing all sorts of things. But now they have the capacity to put the two together, nuclear warheads, into the missile. So Donald Trump, in a meeting, decided that he was going to handle this situation by provoking them even further, saying that if North Korea keeps its shit up, that he would unleash fire and fury upon them like the world had never seen before. Now, naturally, that's not a particularly nice thing to say, given that the only two times that nukes have ever really been used were because the fucking United States dropped nuclear weapons on Japan. It's a crime against humanity, right? It's just the reality of it, a war crime. The only time in world history that nukes have ever been used have been by the United States, but we just take it for granted that that thing happened in World War II. We never look back on it and go, oh shit, that was a bad moment. Mm. Whatever. Fuck that, right? So anyways, after he said that, we now have another intelligence report that says North Korea is seriously looking into firing a missile near Guam as a threat, like as a back the fuck off, America.
Because we have bases.
We have military bases in Guam, which is one of our bases.
It's
one of
the biggest bases.
It's a colony, right? It's one of the U.S. Empire is forged out of bases around the world.
So a lot of people that we grew up with were stationed in Guam.
Yeah, Guam. So a lot of Guam, the Pacific in particular, is kind of the used to be the theater of American empire, but it's now global. And so now there is this moment where, you know, North Korea called Trump's bluff. He said if North Korea continued to threaten us, we'd do something about it. North Korea didn't just threaten us, said, we're going to fire something near your base. We're not going to hit your base. We're going to fire it near your base. So we're at this moment where everyone's like, are we about to go to war with North Korea?
I think when you put two ridiculous human beings
on Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, two completely unstable individuals.
You know what's crazy to think about is our first episode of Currently Nerdy was talking about
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, and how we need to get laid.
Yeah.
That's, I guess it's the same.
Maybe this is the end. This is the perfect symmetry, right?
Yeah.
This is our very first episode, North Korea. Our very last episode, North Korea.
Mustafa was in the first episode.
We mentioned Mustafa.
Oh my god,
it's too much. The fates have decided.
This is our last episode ever.
She's cut the thread.
Yep, that's it.
She's cut the thread. We're all dying.
It was really nice knowing you.
I don't know if it was nice knowing you, but it was entertaining.
It's something you say to people.
It's entertaining.
I had a pleasure doing this podcast with you guys.
It was a blast while it lasted.
Yeah. Don't say blast.
Well, I'm preempting it.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast today, too.
Well, the thing is, we're on the West Coast.
Yeah. We're closer to Korea.
Closer to Korea.
Shit, we going to die today.
We going to die today.
Hey, we're gonna get hit with that Fukushima.
So, if like a nuclear bomb like comes and like hits towards us, like what would we do if we were like on the outskirts of like where like the ravished lands?
Like, oh right, so like the post apocalyptic is like a mile away.
Yeah,
right?
The hell we doing? We building a wall.
Yeah, we're building a wall around L.A.
Yeah, we building the wall.
We're keeping the mutants in.
No, keeping them out.
Keeping them in, trapped inside.
Oh, inside that wall. We're keeping them out of our...
No, we're building a wall around it.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to build a wall around all of California. I know. Build it around the city.
That would be dumb.
That's true.
Keep the mutants in.
Hey, but can we sustain our own water?
What? We still have water from Colorado. We're fine. We're
okay.
Oh, but that... No, but if we build a wall around us...
Around L...
No. How are you not understanding this concept?
Oh, they bomb in L.A. Okay, I got you.
They bombed L.A. Oh, we built a wall around L.A. to keep it in L.A.
I'm thinking they bombed in San Diego for some reason because there's a Navy base there.
You stupid as fuck.
I'm not. I'm thinking strategic. If I'm going to bomb somewhere in California, I'm not going to bomb
L.A. Probably, but L.A. is bigger.
Yeah, I know L.A. is bigger, but, you know...
Also, Hollywood is there.
Oh, they're still pissed off about James Franco and shit. Yeah. So they might be wanting to kill him.
Take him out. Right. Take that fucker out. I think we can resolve this right now. Send James Franco
over. Yeah, give him Franco and Rogan.
Yeah.
Imagine if this all this blustering, all this like hardcore weapon making was because they're really pissed off about the interview.
I think they're really pissed off about Trump.
Yeah, I'm really pissed off too. Well, I mean, we're really pissed off about Trump, so why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, it's just a matter. What would you do in the event of a nuclear fallout?
Kill myself.
I know all the libertarians would be hard.
I've mentioned on this podcast before, that was my theory, right?
Yeah.
That libertarians are fundamentally fantasizing about a post-apocalyptic world.
Mm.
Right?
Just imagine how amazing it would be. They can say the N word without snowflakes.
The reality of the libertarian is that all of them would die.
Yeah, in
that
that's true.
They fantasize about it, but they're quite delicate. They live very, very coddled lives.
Yeah.
They hate the government. But at the end of the day,
still use the roads.
The second the government's gone, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And you mean I gotta dig a hole to poop in? Right? Think about it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Plumbing doesn't work.
Yeah.
All that gone.
What about those crazy survivalist people that like subscribe to Soldier of Fortune magazine?
There's only like a handful of them, and even them.
That's true.
It's all fantasy.
Like, what are you going to hide under a bunch of leaves if a nuclear explosion happens? What would you
do? Fallout. I think you'd go. You'd die. You'd die quick.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you soft.
Yeah.
He's off. You're gone.
Listen, cool. Okay. I am going to.
I think you'd die if your favorite restaurant just left.
I would find my Zen spot, and I would enjoy the last fleeting moments.
What is your Zen spot?
My Zen spot would probably be, I'd say, under the table at probably Subculture in Huntington Beach.
With a bucket of chicken.
And I would just be sitting there eating all the sandwiches. And I'd be like, well, I had a good
run. I'm going to die happy.
Yeah.
And full.
Yeah. You know, and that's, at the end of the day, isn't that what we all kind of want?
Yeah, right? Just die full and happy.
What about you? What would you do? Would you die pretty quick?
Yeah, I'd probably off myself.
You'd kill yourself before the nuke landed.
I know, really.
It just shoots in the general direction of the U.S. He's like, I can't take it.
What if it was me and Ali outside of your window with like a bunch of whistles making noises sounding like bombs?
Y'all would be responsible for me killing myself.
First of all, this is a very triggering conversation. Let's just put it out there.
We should have said that like 5 minutes ago. You got
a problem.
Yeah. Wait, what are you talking about?
Talking about suicide like that.
I know, I'm messed up. I'm just saying.
Insensitive piece of shit. Yeah.
There's a really great Twilight Zone episode that people should watch called One Last Pallbearer.
Mm.
It's great. It's about this guy. He's a businessman. Last name is Raiden, oddly enough. And he's a big jerk millionaire.
Yeah.
Right? And he creates a bomb shelter that's set to replicate all the familiar sounds and things of a nuclear explosion. And he invites like his old army captain and an old teacher and stuff who disciplined him when they were kids to sit there and prove to them that, you know, despite all their moral conundrums with him and everything, that they're still just scared, selfish people. So he kind of creates this like false universe where all the bombs are going down. He goes, this is the only place that you can live. All you have to do is apologize for me. For like suspending me when I was in school and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And they all went, no, we're going to go and spend time with our families. And he goes crazy. Mm-hmm. And then when he goes up outside of the bomb shelter, everything is destroyed. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that none of it, that he just went crazy and the world is normal. but he thought that the world had ended, so he's just like lying on a destroyed couch crying.
My favorite Twilight episode is also related to that. It's the, I forgot the name of it, but it's he's a banker who loves to read.
Oh, Time Enough at Last.
Time Enough at Last. Yeah. He never has enough time to read, but he loved to read, like passionately loves.
So he's you.
Yeah, he's a little bit like me, and he would always sneak away to read. He always had a book with him, and one day what he does is he sneaks into the
bank vault.
In order to get some privacy to read. Mm-hmm. When he comes out of the bank vault, nuclear war has happened and the world has been wiped out.
Holy shit.
And at first he's really sad, but then he comes across a library and he realizes that now he has time enough to read all the books that he wanted, all the books that he never had time to. And so what he does, he spends his day organizing all the books into piles of what he's going to read. And just when he gets settled down in order to read, his glasses fall and he breaks his glasses.
What kind of sick, twisted
It's a classic Twilight Zone episode.
Classic moment. Of course, you know, it's not like he can't go if there's bookstores that still have kind of survived. I'm sure there's glasses stores that he can go to.
Well, they talk about, because they do, in that episode, they do a vision thing, and like he literally can't see anything super without blind. His glasses.
He has like, these big, big old glasses. Yeah. But, I mean, he literally could go to a glasses store.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever was the equivalent of lens crafters back then, and find it something to help him out. Yeah.
Played by the very talented Burgess Meredith.
Yes, but it was very fun.
Penguin.
It's
one of my favorite episodes of it because it ends so horribly and tragically.
That's so terrible.
He's such an adorable character.
Yeah,
he just wants to read. He's kind of a small, mousy.
Yeah.
Individual.
Why would they want to screw that guy over?
Wife burns his books and shit.
I know. Poor little guy. He's a nice little guy that wants. He's completely in it, like. Undeservedly punished at the end.
Yeah. That is true.
He is, because he is a decent guy that just loves to read.
Poor little guy.
It's horrible.
It sucks.
But I think at the end, if you... Yeah, you'd go.
I'd go.
I think I'd survive.
You create the force field with the bones of children or whatever you do.
I think I'd be okay. A
little cockroach.
You know what it is?
Twinkie.
I'm a Twinkie.
I'm a Twinkie.
That's racist.
I think I'd survive. You know what I'd be? I'd be Gary Oldman from Book of Eli. I'd start a cult. If the end of the world, if a nuclear holocaust happened, I'm starting a cult. I got nothing to lose. I'm going crazy.
What do you call it?
I'm going to call the Alomiites.
The Gilomiites.
Alomiism. And the followers of the Alomiites.
So is a blind man going to come and ruin you too?
They are going to worship me as I give out to them soap. I got lots of soap piled up somewhere.
Or wet naps. Wet naps.
I'm gonna preach to them from the holy word of Alomi.
See, I think this is more of a Morton Joe type thing from Mad Max than a.
I'm gonna be totally, I'm not only gonna survive. I'm gonna thrive.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a little village. Oh, I think I'm gonna take over. Aliso Viejo.
Hey, are you going to be like one of those people that make the women sleep with you before they can get married to somebody else?
It's called Prima Nocta. It's a medieval... Let's clarify this because it sounds like you just accused me of like some illegal crime, okay? So let's clarify what Diz, in his ignorant way, was actually trying to say. Diz was referring to Prima Nocta, which was a medieval practice in which certain lords would employ. And that meant that when someone got married, the lord would first... sleep with the bride, right? And it was believed that, you know, the myth was that, you would pass on blessings and whatnot. In reality, it was just an exploitative tactic for lords to get laid, right? And then after they slept with them, the husband and the bride would consummate their marriage.
Yeah.
So that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Just clarify that.
Would that be you?
Yeah. No, I would not. I'm not interested in Prima Nocta. Yeah, I don't want your wife... I'm not interested. You got married. You do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have to get my approval to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Prima Nocta.
Because now I have the opportunity to finally enforce what I have always wanted to enforce.
Oh, the...
Interracial marriages.
God, we're back at this again.
Enforce racial marriages. I would force everybody. We would repopulate the planet with beautiful little mixed children. It'd be great. Everyone would be cappuccino. Around the world.
Of course, you know, they would find other ways.
Shut up, Vito. Rule my fucking utopia.
What? I've never seen so much anger from you.
Trying to ruin my happiness. I was visioning little brown babies everywhere.
Yeah.
We would have beautiful, beautiful brown babies everywhere. they would worship their benevolent ruler. It's very Doctor Island of Dr. Moreau over here.
I know.
They would worship their benevolent ruler, Lord Alomi.
God. Are we going to be called?
The first and the last. Yeah.
First and the last. So you're not going to get married yourself?
No. I'm not passing that shit on.
I'm not going to. I don't know this because, you know, obviously it's you know, the world hasn't ended yet, thank God. But
what, you don't want my utopia?
I can see you imparting a caste system and having untouchables.
No, I would never have untouchables.
That's an Indian.
But if I did, they'd Indian. Be white people. I'm just kidding.
We can never do this. We can never go one podcast without enslaving or talking bad. I feel bad.
It's horrible.
I feel bad.
You know why? You know why you feel bad? Because you coddle your oppressor.
Yeah, you do.
That's what you
do. And you're the model minority. You
coddle. You're a model of minority. You're the worst type of minority.
Yeah, you're the model.
You appease the whiteness.
Yes, they like you. They take your women.
White supremacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I had a good run.
I do what I do.
Yeah.
They take your they take your sandwiches.
I know I wouldn't have a caste system, but I would have. I think people would be happier if they allowed me to tell them which jobs and careers to have. I feel I know better.
So
like, you're not a doctor.
Basically, you're just a more powerful guidance counselor.
I am the benevolent despot. I'm Ivan the Terrible without the terrible. Catherine the Great, but greater. And minus the horse fucking thing, right? None of that shit. None of the weird bestiality shit she did. But I'm Catherine the Greatest, is what I am.
See you more as a Vlad Sepish.
Yeah, Vlad. Transylvania. That's the Impaler, right? That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I could see that.
That's really unsupportive of you as friends.
Yeah.
This is why, in my new utopia, I'd kill you both.
We're already dead. So.
Yeah. The reason you died is because I executed you. And if you died, there would be ritual cursing of your remains.
I executed myself.
So if you kill yourself before I can kill you, we would spend... Part of Alomiism would involve ritual cursing of your remains.
That's fine. I'm already dead. What was I going to do?
No, because cursing the remains means that we get condemned for eternity.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, though, I bet you anything, he's already cursed the remains.
Yeah, this is...
So they're like...
What's new?
May the maggots feast on your flesh.
Mm.
Oh.
May your descendants have no happiness.
Well, I mean...
May your soul be tormented in the afterlife. This is what we would repeat daily.
But my descendants are your descendants.
They're related to me.
Yeah, they're...
But they're not my descendants.
And you have to remember that most royal families in history have killed most of their family members to maintain power.
Yeah.
Just because you're unsupportive. If you were supportive of my utopian vision, this wouldn't be a problem.
I would have
appointed you as minister of some stupider shit.
Minister of propaganda.
Minister of some dumbass shit or another.
Listen.
Because of your unsupportive nature as friends.
How was I unsupportive?
I just said I see you as a Vlad type.
You know exactly what you did.
I don't know what I did.
That's why you're dead. That's why you're dead.
You called me a sellout to the white man.
This is true. You betrayed me. You betrayed your brown friend.
Yeah.
How did I do that?
Dad.
Model I donated money to ADEP.
Yeah, he did. But as a cover. As a cover.
He wanted to show. Hey, I'll support you.
It's my own version of creeping. Reverse creeping Sharia.
Secretly, he's been reporting to DHS for years.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
What's reverse creeping Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck, something whiter.
Yeah, Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck. Creeping Casey Affleck. There you go.
Creeping Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck. That could work.
CCS.
That would also work.
CCA.
That's true, because it does a whole bunch of like womanizing bullshit.
Yeah, he's a predator too.
He's a predator.
Yeah. I know, I felt bad. Brie Larson should have punched him in his face.
Should have punched him in the face.
She tried. She wanted to like twice.
Yeah,
but she couldn't.
Which... I think Brie Larson would survive in my utopia.
Yeah, I bet she would.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if I was okay with that laugh.
I'm just going to point out that I know we're all worried about upcoming nuclear destruction, but it might not be as bad as we thought.
Well, maybe for you.
I'm thinking this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to right some wrongs.
You're gonna take over the Seven Kingdoms?
I'm gonna take
opportunity.
Over.
It's free market capitalist right over
I'm
here.
I'm thinking that we should use this opportunity.
At least going after the throne.
I'm gonna take over the throne.
At least going after the throne.
Yeah. Fuck Cersei. Fuck Dany. It's King Ali.
I've heard of Prince Ali. I don't know about.
I will stab you in
King
the
Ali.
This is why you're dead too.
That's you why you dead. You had that Prince Ali shit when we were kids, though.
House Alomi,
Ali Abubu.
But House Alomi, except that I don't like any of the Lomis.
Yeah. So what are you gonna be?
I'm gonna kill the other Lomis.
You're gonna be House Snow.
I'm gonna be House of Lomi, but I'm gonna kill the other Lomis.
Okay.
There can only be one. So I'm a mix of Gary Oldman and Book of Eli,
mm-hmm.
a bit of Highlander.
Okay.
Throw in a bit of Game of Thrones, clearly.
Vlad the Impaler.
And not Vlad the Impaler. What's a good movie about with cults in it?
Children of the Corn.
Nah.
Rosemary's Baby.
Too satanic.
The Dude, Where's My Car?
No, definitely.
Wreck.
No. Island of Dr. Moreau. We'll
Battlefield Earth.
We'll go with it. Fuck you, man. This ain't no Scientology shit.
You said a good movie about cults.
John Travolta. What happens to Scientologists in your utopia?
They're dead.
All of them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nutcases. There can only be one cult. I'm not allowing other cults. What, have you lost your mind?
Are you a southern ruler or a northern ruler?
Competition. This is a free market capitalism over here. It's controlled economy. It's regulated.
What happens to Mitch McConnell?
Oh. I'm gonna make him a jester. He's gonna be in a turtle outfit for the rest of his life. Beat him regularly. You're wearing a turtle outfit. Kick him down the stairs. He's gonna be like Worm Tongue. I kick his ass down the stairs. Fucking spineless shit.
What if he tries to stab you like Worm Tongue tried to do?
I hope he does. Try me.
Are you gonna turn him into Reek?
Try me. You're nasty. You're nasty is what you are.
Why?
So that reminds us, Game of Thrones, right? Now that we've fantasized quite well, I'm happy. I'm in a good place now.
Yeah, I bet you
are. Let's talk about Game of Thrones.
It was.
We watched the episode.
It was a good episode.
How'd you feel?
I felt liberated.
You feel liberated.
Felt liberated.
Were you frustrated the past couple episodes?
Yeah, I was.
I was a little frustrated too.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to write.
Yeah, fuck Cersei.
How about you?
I enjoyed it. You know, it was cool to see the dragons.
It was nice to see the dragons.
Like, so, actually, them,
spoiler
like,
alert. Before V fucking opens his mouth.
Yeah, all I said was nice to see the dragons.
Yeah, no.
You know?
You were about to say something.
They were in the shower. You know, like they were showering. They were
it was a bathing scene.
Yeah.
It didn't go where we expected.
All right, no. Spoiler alert. So, because last season, we saw the dragons fight when they were fighting the Sons of the Harpy.
A little bit.
A little bit, but it wasn't like a massive scale thing, right? To be able to see the dragons actually in this massive scale, I think was pretty amazing. And, you know, it also goes to show that fucking HBO's got a budget.
Yeah.
And goddammit, do they hire the right people
They're blowing their budget on this.
Yeah, you gotta figure.
Fields of Fire was another thing.
Yeah, they blew their wad.
Just go crazy.
Yeah.
The way they jumped on their horses to stood up the bows and arrows.
Only a fool fights the Dothraki in open
We were talking about this, how Robert Baratheon ended up being probably the most correct and prophetic character in all of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He warned that she would come back with a Dothraki horde at her back.
Yep.
He said only a fool would meet the Dothraki in an open field. He warned that he felt that a war was coming. He didn't know when. He didn't know who he'd be fighting. But there was a war coming. He was right about all of it.
It's true.
He was absolutely on point. He knew what he was. He may have been drunk, but there was a wisdom to his drunkenness.
This is true.
Yeah.
You listen to the drunkards. We know what we're talking about.
Well, I enjoyed the episode. It was the first episode I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Mostly because I've been really frustrated up until now about how stupid it's been.
I mean, there's still
there's still things that they have a tendency, and this is down to bad show direction. The showrunners aren't good, right? That they choose sensationalism, like superficial shock and awe, over depth of character development. Now, there's phenomenal acting that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, take someone like Cersei Lannister, right? This season, she can do no wrong. Right? Everything just kind of goes her way.
That's true.
That's not how wars work.
Yeah. She's like a genius tactician for some reason.
She's not, though.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that Tywin, and the books are very clear about this, too. Tywin said this. He's like, I don't trust you. It's not that I don't trust you because you're a woman. It's that I don't trust you because you're not as smart as you think you are. And that's the whole point about Cersei. Cersei is the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? She thinks she's super smart. When she's not, she just lashes out.
Mm.
She doesn't think of consequences.
And that's true.
This is what Tywin is very keen on, right? He's like, you're not as smart as you think you are. And everyone in the books kind of comments on that, but suddenly now she can do anything. Yeah. Euron, we've seen the same thing with Euron, right? Like, Euron happens to be at the right place at the right time every single moment. Somehow, magically, in the world of Game of Thrones, sneak attacks by ships are a thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That literally, the one vessel that you see from miles away suddenly sneak attack both at night and during the day. I mean, you're telling me the Unsullied left no one behind on their ships to be like, oh, wait, there are ships coming up. Let's warn people. right? Or somehow you could manage to move, empty out a whole castle with 10 to 20,000 men, meet up with a bigger army, march all the way across Westeros, and not anyone notices it.
And you have the master of spies on the opposing
a
side.
A guy who, and this is how silly it is. In earlier seasons, Varys was able to tell Tywin Lannister that the Hound killed a bunch of Lannisters all the way up in the Eyrie and shouted, "Fuck the king." He was able to get that information when there was nobody about. Remember that? It was just the guards. He kills all the guards, says, "Fuck the king." Somehow he's able to get that information. But he doesn't see massive army going across Westerlands all the way to the Reach. I mean, things like that
frustrate. It doesn't even take a mass. It takes one random dude noticing it and then mentioning it to somebody else.
And it just passes on.
Like,
this is the reason. Is the point, is that armies, you generally know when where armies are going.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in Westeros, that has developed an advanced communication system, right?
Yeah.
In the ancient world, it's more difficult.
Yeah.
Right? In real history. But in Westeros, all it takes is one raven sent from Dragonstone to Highgarden. Hey, retreat back to Dorne.
Yeah,
that's all it takes, right? But somehow they're unable to do that.
Take your gold.
So I've always been frustrated. In this episode, they did a better job, but again, I think the dragon and the battle is overshadowing some very clear issues. Mm-hmm. One of them being, as much as I love Bronn, come on.
Yeah, he's not.
He's just a hired hand, but somehow, he knows how to fight. He knows how to do all sorts of things. He fires scorpions. He saves Jaime at the right moment. He's able to injure a dragon. Not majorly injure, obviously. The dragon looks pretty fine to me.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just like, these are things that you just go, huh?
Yeah. I think they do that with characters that we're supposed to absolutely hate, and they do that with characters that we love.
Yeah.
So they did it with Arya also, right? Yeah, Arya. They do it with Ron. And then on the opposite side, they make guys like Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
And they make guys like Euron Greyjoy. Ramsay was a
fucking thug.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been able to do the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
But so somehow.
I think they do that with case of characters that we either love the character or we hate the character, but they have that same kind of model for both.
We mentioned in this episode that Arya's character is like, suddenly she's able to do all these things, but the only thing we saw her do is wash bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get her ass kicked with a stick. All we needed is one montage of her actually learning some of this stuff.
Seriously, give her the Mulan treatment.
Yeah, but suddenly now she can make these magical masks. I mean, we saw that the last time she used a mask,
she went blind.
She went blind, but now she knows how to use them all. How? How did she learn that trick? Who taught her that magic?
Yeah.
Who taught her that skill? Right? That, because it is, there's an element of magic involved. Somehow you put it on someone's face and you're able to take on their entire persona. Yeah. You get as tall as them, as short as them, their voice, right? All of that. So I don't understand. When did she learn that? When did she learn how to fight the way she did? Last time we saw, she got her ass kicked.
Yeah.
Right? The last fight she got into before she came into Westeros, she got her ass handed to her by the Waif.
Yeah.
Right? She won in the end, but she got her ass handed to her.
Yeah.
But suddenly that ship ride, something happened. But coming back to Westeros, she's able to assassinate who she wants, kill who she wants, take on Brienne. Like, huh? What's going on here?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird to me. I don't understand, but it is what it is. This is the kind of the flaws of Game of Thrones, and I think for those of us that are hate watching, they become more obvious, right? Yeah. The other thing that's fascinating is that people are really rooting for Cersei. So like, it's become like a modern day politics. People are bringing in the refugee immigration thing, the debate of Donald Trump into Game of Thrones. There are people who are obsessed with Cersei Lannister now.
How so?
They call her our queen, defending Westeros from invaders.
Oh god!
If you go and see people on Twitter, you go and see people on like YouTube and stuff, she's become like the alt-right darling. I don't know if Game of Thrones intended it that way, but she's now the alt-right darling. People are like, we hate fucking Dany. She brought invaders to our shores. I mean, first of all, it's a fantasy world. Calm down.
Yeah.
But second of all, they are injecting that Trump language now into Game of Thrones. And so you have this moment where people are talking about our queen, Cersei. Oh, she's like, she's a white queen defending, whereas the other one is a whore and a traitor.
God, people are such losers.
People are so pathetic that they're literally, and they're like, these are like Muslim refugees that are coming in and raping people. That's what the Dothraki are. They're so, I mean, first of all, nice ignorance there. Good job there, yeah. Moron. But the fact that these are actual debates on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff like that, it just goes to show you how fucking weird our politics
are. I mean, right do now. They forget the part where she fucks her brother and has children with them?
Yeah, I mean, she's mass murdered so many
people. And she's also, like, she's directly connected with the murder of all of her children.
Yeah, all of her children. She wipes out the High Septon and the church, right? Like, the woman's insane.
Yeah.
Clearly insane.
So naturally alt-right.
Yeah. Alt-right. But she's become the alt-right daughter. What's interesting is that I think they're setting up both of them to become mad in some ways. Danny has her moments where you're like, oh,
yeah, you can shit. Tell she goes unhinged.
She gets unhinged.
You if you bend the knee.
And then the moment where she's like, I have three dragons. I'm taking them to the Red Keep. She's turning in a little bit to the Mad Queen. But so Cersei. So you have two fucking crazy people.
Yeah. And then Jon just sitting there. He's got his quivering lower lip.
Just moping about.
Just brooding. Jon's a fucking brooder.
He is a brooder.
What the hell, dude? All these Starks just brooding
left and right.
They were so sad all the time.
We're always mopey.
It's just Stark men.
Though I will say that it is kind of heartwarming to see the Starks reunited.
It is.
It's good.
Arya returning home, Bran home, Sansa home. And you can see that this is now the Battle of the Children, that the older generation is wiped out. Right, so Balon Greyjoy is gone. All that's left is Yara and Theon. Tywin Lannister is gone. It's Jaime, Cersei, and Tyrion. The Mad King is gone. It's just Dany. Ned Stark and Catelyn Stark are gone. It's their kids.
Yeah.
Right, so it's all the children now fighting. The kind of the adult generation, or the older generation, is gone.
Yeah.
Right. Theories, though, ideas that we want to discuss. Future that's going to come up in the future. What do you think will happen?
I think John and Danny hook up.
I think John and Danny may possibly hook up also. It's gross because that's
kind of weird to me.
Her nephew.
Yeah, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, they're doing the shipping. They're doing that.
But the fact that the internet's all for it, like, oh, we really want them together, it just goes to show you how fucking sick people are.
Yeah.
They are. It's incest.
Yeah, people are gross like that, though.
But I guess.
The Sam and Dean thing, right? Yeah. You know, on Tumblr.
But then again, Targaryens do incest.
Yeah, it's not. The thing is, though, in terms of that world's kind of social stuff, it's like doesn't seem nearly as taboo.
Oh, it's super taboo.
But it's
only the Targaryens did it. That's why Cersei and Jaime doing it is considered so bad.
Yeah. They're like direct siblings, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but none of the Targaryens are siblings.
Yeah.
So for Aegon the Conqueror, he had two sister wives. They're called sister wives.
That's so weird.
They had, the Targaryens married sister and brother. For centuries. That's why there's a whole line from Cersei. They go, every time Targaryens had a child, the gods flipped a coin. Did they turn out crazy or not? It's because of the inbreeding.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's kind of like the royal families in Europe in general.
And that's why they try to explain Joffrey, too, in some ways. Like, Joffrey was a child of incest, right?
Yeah.
But, the Targaryens were incestuous, and that was considered really weird by Westerosi standards. The Westerosi were grossed out by that, but the Targaryens did it. The only Westerosis that have done it are Jaime and Cersei. And it's considered super gross.
Yeah.
And we saw that in the last episode, right, when they hooked up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't care.
Jaime's like, don't. And she's like, I don't give a fuck anymore, right?
Yeah.
Because it's considered, but like, the Westeros is going to be like, ew, nasty. In fact, that might turn the Westerosi lords against them.
Is it?
If they're openly fucking now,
that might be Cersei something.
That might turn against, the Westeros might start to turn against them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's considered pretty dark. Any other predictions?
I would have, what I'm actually wondering is, like, how are they, like, what are they setting Sandor Clegane up for?
I don't know.
Because he's kind of been thrown in there, and they're giving him a redemption story, it seems like. But, like, they haven't really elaborated on where it's going. But they obviously need to address it, because they have a limited amount of time, but they felt the need to put it into the show. So I'm just interested to see where they're going. They mentioned Gregor, or Robert Strong, or whatever his name is now, right? But more so in the capacity of him being a bodyguard to Cersei. Yeah. So everyone talks about Clegane Bowl still. So very much on the table. It's a possibility, I guess.
It's also, that is possible. I'm not sure, because he's heading north, though.
That's true. But Sandor might end up, if Sandor ends up in the north, right? Or
Sandor Clegane?
Yeah.
He's already headed in.
So it's like he's, that might be,
If he comes back south, if he comes back south.
Yeah.
Because Gregor Clegane or the Mountain is in the south. He's in King's Landing. Whereas Sandor Clegane, the Hound, is at the north. He's traveling north.
But you're gonna make the assumption that at one point or another, right? I mean, the Starks and the Lannisters might end up clashing.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It seems like people are heading north though, because that's where the fight's gonna be. I'm assuming the Lannisters at one point will probably go north too, so maybe that's something that'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think for me the big, I'm not sure if this is kind of a theory. Maybe we'll make a video of it on YouTube. Is I have a sneaking suspicion that Bran is going to be playing a really interesting role. I think he's a mover and shaker, but in a way that other people don't realize.
Like a cosmic mover?
I think he's a cosmic mover. In some ways, I've always made the argument that one of the radical things that he does in the George R. R. Martin does in his books is the role of magic, right? The magic is never fully explained, and his intervention in history as well as the gods, right? That there are no gods, right? Or that it's possible that the gods exist, but they're not actually involved. That everything that we're seeing is a product of magic.
Okay.
And we see this in the fact that magic exists.
Yeah.
So people can see visions in the fire.
Uh-huh.
But they're attributing it to the gods. They're going, the gods gave this
vision. Yeah, the Lord of Light.
Whereas in reality, it's like an innate power or a natural force that they're employing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? In the same way that if we were to light a match and go, oh, well, the gods gave us that fire. No, it was the chemical reaction, right? So I think that's part of one thing that could be happening. They keep attributing these things to the gods when the gods don't actually exist.
But there's no actual indication that they're getting these powers from something else.
No, other not than at all.
Their own universe.
Not at all. In fact, the fact that they are able to use magic is mostly a result of the fact that dragons have come back somehow.
Yeah.
Right. So magic is increasing, but the gods have been around forever.
Yeah.
So why did the magic go before when the dragons disappeared? So the other thing is that in the books they talk about things like the black candles or the glass candles that have lit up again that allow people to communicate over distances and send visions and stuff like that. They do a better job in the books kind of talking about that side of magic where they haven't done so on the show. And I think that's where Bran plays a role. Not only is he a passive, he's not just observing.
Yeah.
He's not just seeing. That's one thing he does. But I think when we saw what he did to Hodor and when he called out to his dad, I think that's an indication of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
That he's able to do minor things that change the course of history.
Yeah. So, like, when we say cosmic force or cosmic power, something as simple as, like, him putting a rock somewhere would be used 1,000 years down the line to do something,
so
right?
I think he's much more like butterfly effect.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for me, when I saw him give the dagger that was used to kill, almost to kill him, the dagger that Littlefinger gave to the assassin but blamed Tyrion for, it was the thing that started the war, right?
Yeah.
Because he blames Tyrion, tells Catelyn, then kidnaps and arrests Tyrion.
Yeah.
That starts the Lannisters going to war with the Starks.
Yep.
Right? But it was all Littlefinger.
The War of the Five Kings.
I think the fact that he gets the knife and then he hands it to Arya, I don't think that was coincidence. I think that's him playing some type of game there. I think Arya's going to use that knife to kill
Littlefinger. Even the look that she gave him.
I think that's my theory. That's what Bran is doing. He's moving like... He's doing little things like that, right? Like handing someone a dagger, knowing that they're eventually going to use it to kill someone.
It makes sense because why... I mean, they did spend a lot of time kind of giving that dagger like a time to explain what was going on with it, right?
Yeah.
And they also... I mean, with Bran, they've already given the indication that he really knows more than what they're showing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about it too, which, like, I feel like maybe when Littlefinger gave Bran the dagger, something could have happened. He could have saw something or, like...
Well, I think he already knew.
Or probably, he already knew.
He is tied to the Weirwood trees, right?
That's true. So he's able to see all that stuff, right, through time and space. And it's another, like, this, like, really kind of... I mean, this almost divine-like character. He's able to see things 100 years in advance or... 25, 35, 45 steps ahead as they actually
happen, technically, right? Like, the past.
Yeah.
He has only glimpses of the future.
Okay.
Right, in his dreams.
Yeah.
But I think they're enough that allow him...
Yeah.
So he's not all-knowing in the future, but he's all-knowing in the past.
Yeah.
So that gives him ability to know who did what. But he just has enough power about the future that he's able to kind of do so. Also, I think that he's able to alter the past a little bit. I think the role of history plays a massive... thing here. So we see what we're seeing in many ways is George R. R. Martin go. So there's all these prophecies and whatnot, but also shit that's happened in the past that are now repeating themselves. So think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The very first kind of story from the beginning starts with what? The White Walkers, they're coming down. Mm-hmm. There's this long night. There's a hero that rises, forges a sword of fire there, and he's able to use that fire to drive away the long night and the Night King. Right? Uh-huh. And that's the end right? We have that same messianic moment. That's technically happened in the past.
Yeah.
But it's interpreted as a prophecy that it will happen, even though it's already happened, technically. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And history then, repeating itself.
It's a, is the prophecy just history repeating itself? Is that Jon Snow? Is that, you know, Jorah Mormont? Whoever, whatever people are claiming, right? Is that he already happened?
Sir Davos.
The other part of it. What happened only 300 or 400 years ago in Westeros? The Targaryens invaded. They, and how did they do so? They arrived with 3 dragons.
Yeah.
They landed in Dragonstone first. Then they flew into Westeros, and they were able to conquer by first catching the lords out in the field and burning all the troops. That made the lords fearful, and they bent the knee.
Mm-hmm.
There was a king in the north, right?
Yeah.
Who eventually, seeing this and wanting to save his people, bent the knee and became Warden of the North.
Yeah.
So you were seeing that history repeat itself literally right now. Right? A Targaryen has invaded.
Yeah.
Landed. It's not exact.
Yeah.
There's some things off. And that's the point of history repeating itself. It's not always the same.
Yeah.
But the themes are the same. And this may be like, this may be the ending of it. Maybe this is all just history being written down. Mm-hmm. By Samwell fucking Tarly.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people think that he's just writing it.
Yeah. So there's, I think there's some interesting theories that are coming out. We'll see. The intervention in the historical memory, the role of magic and the gods, I think those are the big things that we're missing, and I think those are much bigger in the books that he's playing around with in fantasy. But my main theory is Bran is going to be a big mover and shaker, but in like a very subtle way. He has some type of cosmic power in that regards, like mm-hmm. like almost like a fate.
Yeah.
He's going to act like a like cosmic fate. And I think either Varys or Littlefinger are going to die. I'm now leaning towards Littlefinger.
Yeah. Yeah,
because of the dagger thing. I'm leaning towards it. But my prediction from day one, as you both know, was one of them will die.
Yeah. I think this is going to be interesting because it's like, what if, while all these other characters are playing the Game of Thrones, Bran himself is playing his own game on top of all that they're playing. So it's like really interesting and complicated.
Yeah, because he's not playing the Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
he's playing that stuff together.
He's playing something, right? And it's not, but he's playing, the game that he plays involves everyone else playing the Game of Thrones. Like, it's a kind of a interesting idea.
It's interesting. Well, let us know what you think. Do you think, what are your predictions for Game of Thrones? What are your predictions for the upcoming season? What do you think about our theories? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or maybe, you know, we're all dead because of North Korea. Anyways, you can contact us, and Diz is going to let you know how. But before we do so, we should let people know that our contest is still ongoing. We will be ending it in 2 weeks. We already got a couple of stuff in. A couple people have either put up reviews or submitted their subscription and comments to our YouTube channel. We will be announcing our winners on social media and on the podcast in the next couple weeks. Just tune in. You still have an opportunity to enter. Diz is going to let you know how you can get a hold of us. Diz.
Yes, you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. You can catch us on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter. Catch us on Instagram, @currentlynerdy. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. YouTube, search for us on there, Currently Nerdy. We're on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes under Currently Nerdy. Hopefully you're listening to us on one of those things. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram, aaolomi. You, as well as our sister podcast, our child podcast, our offshoot podcast.
It's our bastard child.
Head on History. You can find it on Stitcher Radio or on iTunes by going and searching Head on History. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla. DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're the fucking white devil, then we hate you.